All right, good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the webcast for the Fall 2026 Block Energy and Capacity RFP, or BEC RFP. My name is Paul Cardona, and I'm from NERA Economic Consulting, the Procurement Administrator on behalf of the Illinois Power Agency. Presenting with me today are Kate Morrison and Abigail Sinnott, who are also from NERA. This webcast will cover the three procurement events held under this Fall 2026 BEC RFP. These include two events to procure block energy for Ameren Illinois Company and Commonwealth Edison Company, and a third procurement event for capacity for Ameren Illinois Company. Throughout this presentation, we may refer to the utilities as follows: Ameren Illinois Company as AIC and Commonwealth Edison Company as ComEd. We will take questions at the end of the presentation as time permits. To submit questions, please use the chat icon at the bottom of your screen and type in your question and hit enter. The presentation materials, including an audio recording and the questions and answers, will be posted to the procurement website, which is ipa-energyrfp.com. Before getting into the presentation, I want to provide a short disclaimer, which is that any statements herein or made on the call describing or referring to the RFP and contract documents are summaries only and are qualified in their entirety by the governing documents. The governing documents include contract documents posted on July 7th and the RFP documents posted on July 8th. These documents are posted to the procurement website, again, which is ipa-energyrfp.com. Bidders bear full responsibility for reviewing and understanding these documents. And then before I move to the agenda for today's webcast, this slide provides a screenshot for navigating to those governing documents. From ipa-energyrfp.com, you'll go to the Block Energy and Capacity Procurement subsection in the orange on the left-hand side of the webpage, and then you'll click on Final Materials. On the call today, I'll start with an overview of the procurement events, including the products to be procured. I'll then provide some details on the supplier contracts and a general overview of the RFP process and timeline. For the second half of the presentation, I'll pass the presentation to Kate and Abby to discuss the qualification requirements, the bid submission process, and lastly, bids and bid forms. So on September 29th, 2025, the Illinois Power Agency, or IPA, filed its procurement plan with the Illinois Commerce Commission. The plan was approved on December 18th, 2025. The procurement plan provides for three procurement events to be held this fall under a Block Energy and Capacity RFP. And as I mentioned, NERA serves as the procurement administrator for this RFP. And in this role, we serve as your main point of contact. We review qualification materials you submit to us, and we'll evaluate bids received on the bid dates. Please direct all questions you have regarding the procurement events to NERA, and we'll provide an email link here in a bit. You can also ask questions through the website. This slide introduces the products available in the RFP for both energy and capacity. Then I'll move to the more detailed slides, first related to the energy procurement events and then related to capacity. The RFP seeks to procure block energy for AIC and ComEd. The products available are specific quantities on peak and off-peak energy in monthly periods from October 1st, 2026 through May 31st, 2029. Notably, there are no quantities to be procured for MidAmerican Energy Company this fall BEC RFP. The capacity product is procured for AIC only. Specifically, this RFP seeks to procure zonal resource credits, or ZRCs, for a given season as defined by MISO for the 27-28 and 28-29 planning years in order to fulfill a proportion of the forecast requirement for AIC for those 2 years. Notably, beginning in 2025, bidders had the option to bid on annual combinations, which are a grouping of ZRCs that includes all 4 seasons in one planning year. Beginning with the spring 2026 event and continued for this fall 2026 event, bidders also have the option to bid on a 2-year combination, which is a grouping of ZRCs, including all 8 seasons across the 27-28 and 28-29 planning years. Additionally, in 2025, new financially ZRCs Financially settled ZRC contract wasn't made available. Bidders may bid to supply MISO delivered or financially settled ZRCs again in 2026. And I'll cover these options in more detail on later slides. An energy product represents block energy for a company, either AIC or ComEd. It's for a specific segment, either on-peak or off-peak hours, and for a given month. The quantity of each product is divided into 25 megawatt blocks. The targets or the number of blocks to be procured for each product in the RFP documents are provisional at this time. The final targets are expected to be posted to the website and made available to bidders by August 24th. Bidders may also bid on combinations of products for a particular company in on-peak and off-peak segments. The available combinations are January, February, March, April, July, August, the fourth quarter, as well as an annual combination, which includes all months June to May of a planning year. The number of blocks available in a combination is set to the minimum number of blocks available across each of the months of the combination. And I'll give an example of this on the next slide. This slide provides the provisional targets for AIC, along with an example of how the number of available blocks for combinations are set. Again, targets are provided separately by company, segment, and month. The top table includes the provisional targets for AIC for individual monthly products. For example, for October 2026, in the top row, you'll see that the target is 7 blocks in the on-peak segment and 6 blocks for the off-peak segment. In the bottom table, we have the number of blocks available for each combination for AIC. So, as an example, for the July-August 2027 combination, there are 8 on-peak blocks available. And this is because the minimum number of blocks available for each of July 2027 and August 2027 in the table above is 8 blocks, which is applicable to the August on-peak product. The bid evaluation for block energy considers only bids that meet or beat the benchmarks. These benchmarks are developed using a confidential methodology that is approved by the Illinois Commerce Commission. After that first step for the block energy events, the evaluation identifies the least cost package for each company. That completes the overview of energy products. The next several slides are dedicated to capacity. As defined in MISO's tariff, a ZRC represents 1 megawatt of seasonal accredited capacity that qualifies to satisfy the resource adequacy requirements for a given season of a planning year in a local resource zone. Season definitions from MISO are provided on the slide. There are two capacity contracts available. One is for what we call MISO delivered ZRCs, and the other is for financially settled ZRCs. I'm going to provide more detail on the requirements and settlement under both contracts, but I want to note here up front that bidders that qualify with a successful proposal under the capacity procurement event can submit bids for one or both options. The qualification requirements to submit bids for both contracts are the same. This slide pertains to MISO delivered ZRCs. Bidders that have bids approved for MISO delivered ZRCs will sign the MISO delivered ZRC capacity agreement posted to the procurement website. Under the contract, ZRCs must be transferred to AIC using MISO's Module E capacity tracking tool by the delivery deadline specified in the contract, which is ahead of the MISO's Planning Resource App auction. ZRCs from all local source zones can be offered. There will be a payment adjustment for ZRCs from outside the compliance zone that are selected and approved through the RP. And again, the compliance zone is Local Resource Zone 4. Bidders that have bids approved for financially settled ZRCs will sign the AIC financially settled capacity agreement posted to the website. Under this contract, financially settled ZRCs will mirror volumes of ZRCs awarded in the AIC capacity procurement event, as well as settled prices under the MISO PRA. But do not require the transfer of ZRCs to AIC. Financial settlement is based on the auction clearing price for the compliance zone, which again is Zone 4. Financial settlement can be positive or negative. Bidders in the capacity procurement event can also bid on combinations of seasons. There are three combinations available to bidders. First bidders can bid on an annual combination for each of the two planning years, where one annual combination includes one ZRC from each season of the planning year. And new for 2026, bidders can bid on a two-year combination, which would include a ZRC from every season in the 27-28 and 28-29 planning years. Similar to the block energy procurement, where combinations are available, the number of ZRCs available in a combination is the minimum number of ZRCs available across the seasons in that combination. ZRCs for a given season of a planning year will be procured up to the target for that season across MISO-delivered ZRCs and financially settled ZRCs. Bids for MISO-delivered ZRCs and financially settled ZRCs are evaluated together up to a single seasonal target. Targets in the RFP for capacity are provisional at this time. Final targets will be posted by August 24th. The provisional targets, in an example for calculating the targets for a combination, are provided in the screenshot on this slide. A bid in the capacity procurement event includes a price in dollars per megawatt day for ZRCs for a given season of a planning year or for a combination. A bid also includes the number of ZRCs to which the price applies. And for a MISO-delivered ZRC only, a bid also includes the source zone of the ZRCs, which is the local resource zone in which the ZRCs are located. Please be aware that each bid submitted in the capacity event for a season must be for at least four ZRCs. This rule does not apply to a combination. Towards the end of this presentation, we will present on completing the bid form and will include more detail on bids and bid evaluation. Generally speaking, the evaluation for bids for capacity will consist of two steps. First, the evaluation considers only bids that meet or beat the benchmarks. Benchmarks are developed using a confidential methodology approved by the Illinois Commerce Commission. Second, the evaluation identifies the least cost package. This next section provides an overview of the supplier contracts. The final contracts were posted on July 7th. There are separate energy contracts for AIC and ComEd, separate capacity contracts for MISO-delivered ZRCs, and for financially settled ZRCs. Each contract is standard and non-negotiable. Bidders will be required to accept the terms of the supplier contract for the procurement event or events for which they are applying during the qualification process and prior to bidding. So, in effect, all bidders in a procurement event are agreeing to the same contract terms and will be agreeing ahead of time to execute the contract and related documents within 3 days of the commission decision on the results if they have bids that are identified as winning bids and are selected by the commission. The contracts for fall 2026 are the same as those used in spring 2026. This slide provides the main credit terms for energy contracts. The exposure calculation is based on the mark-to-market methodology. So there may be a collateral requirement applicable to the seller. This requirement will only apply to the seller. If there is a collateral requirement, the seller must post performance assurance in the form of cash, a letter of credit, or a guarantee. Within each contract, there are standard letters of credit and guarantee forms, along with a document that lists the acceptable modifications to the form of guarantee that are acceptable to the respective company. If a seller has multiple contracts with the buyer, a single guarantee may be used. This slide provides a description of the payment under the MISO-delivered AIC capacity contract. For a given source zone and for a given season of a planning year, the amount paid to the seller is the average of the seller's approved bids for the season and source zone in dollars per megawatt day, multiplied by the number of ZRCs delivered, again multiplied by the number of calendar days in the season. Physical ZRCs must be transferred to AIC through MISO's tracking tool. Payment for ZRCs from source zones outside of local resource zone 4 will be adjusted. That adjustment is based on the applicable auction clearing price of the source zone of the selected ZRC relative to the auction clearing price for the compliance zone. And again, the compliance zone is local resource zone 4. We currently have posted to our website examples of how the payment adjustment is done on the procurement website in the FAQ section. Please use the link on the side on this slide to review those numerical examples. There's no payment adjustment required for ZRCs from the compliance zone, which again is local resource zone 4. This slide provides a description of the payment reporting terms under the financially settled AIC capacity contract. For a given season of a planning year, the financial settlement amount equals the product of the result obtained by subtracting the auction clearing price from the AIC compliance zone for the season from the average of the seller's own approved bids for that season in dollars per megawatt day, the number of calendar days in the season, and the number of financially settled ZRCs approved by the commission for the season. If the financial settlement amount is positive, then AIC will pay the seller. If the financial settlement amount is negative, then the seller will pay AIC. There's no transfer of physical ZRCs under the contract. And again, we currently have posted to our procurement website examples for both positive and negative settlement in the FAQ section. Please use the link on this slide to review those numerical examples. Also, notably, the seller is responsible for all required reporting to the Commodities Future Trading Commission and will be the reporting counterparty. The final slide in this section covers the main credit terms of the AIC capacity contracts. The collateral requirement applies only to the seller. Exposure under both of the contracts will be 10% of the contract value as defined in the respective contracts and is required on the effective date. For MISO delivered ZRCs, the contract value is based on the bids approved and any payment adjustment for ZRCs that are from a zone outside of the compliance zone. If after any adjustments, the seller is required to pay the buyer, then the exposure is simply the amount owed to the buyer. Any required performance assurance can be posted in the form of cash, a letter of credit, or a guarantee if the seller is relying on a creditworthy guarantor. There are standard forms of the letters of credit and guarantee provided as attachments to the contracts that must be used. There's also a list of acceptable modifications that may be made to the guarantee. These forms and acceptable modifications are the same across the two contracts. So that concludes the overview of the supplier contract. This next section is an overview of the RFP process. In order to qualify to bid in the BCRP, you will submit qualification materials to us online. If you are a new bidder and you have not yet registered for an account to access the online forms to submit your proposal, you should do that now. You can register either by going to the procurement website, again, that's ipa-energyrfp.com, and clicking on the qualification form link on the left-hand side, and then clicking on the register here link. Alternatively, you can send us an email to illinois-rfp@nera.com with the information requested on this slide. The individual that registers for the account will receive an email with account activation instructions. Current account holders do not need to re-register through the website or by email. A current account holder is a bidder that qualified to participate in a procurement event in 2024 or later, or an account holder that registered in 2024 or later. If you fall into this bucket, even though you do not need to re-register, every account holder will have to activate their account in order to access the form. So, for a bidder that qualified to participate in a procurement event in 2024 or later, the representative will receive an email with an activation link prior to the opening of the Part 1 window. If you're an account holder as of 2024 but have not participated, the individual that registered for the account will receive this email with the activation link. We'll also send instructions to access and complete the online forms to current and new account holders. These instructions will include screenshots for how to activate your account. Notably, two-factor authentication is available as an opt-in security feature. And if you're a current account holder, or if you are a new and registered for an account, you'll receive your account information instructions prior to the opening of the Part 1 window. The RFP process kicks off on Tuesday, August 4th, when applicants can begin submitting their proposal materials. The proposal is submitted in two parts, a Part 1 proposal and then a Part 2 proposal, which includes posting bid assurance collateral. The Part 1 window is from August 4th through August 14th. Applicants must pay a $500 bid participation fee by the Part 1 deadline of August 14th if this fee has not yet been paid already in 2026. Instructions for the payment of the bid participation fee will be sent to account holders by the end of day today. Bidders will be notified whether they qualified and that they have submitted that they may submit a Part 2 proposal on the Part 1 notification date, which is August 24th. The next day, the Part 2 window opens, and the Part 2 proposals, including providing bid assurance collateral for energy products for the energy procurement events, are due on September 3rd. Bidder turns collateral for the capacity procurement event is due later on September 25th, closer to the capacity bid date. On September 9th, we will hold a bidder training session for energy bidders. Capacity bidder training is on September 28th. This will be an opportunity for qualified bidders to practice the bid procedures that will be used on the bid date. The bid date for the energy events is Monday, September 14th, with the commission decision on the results expected to be the Thursday that same week. The results for each procurement event is subject to ICC approval. Capacity bid day will be held on Friday, October 2nd. The ICC is expected to render a decision on the results of the capacity procurement event on October 8th. So, as I laid out in the last slide, the proposal process will begin tomorrow. Suppliers start by submitting the proposal to become qualified for one or more procurement events. Suppliers may then submit the Part 2 proposal for any procurement event for which they qualify. Bids are submitted and evaluated on dedicated bid dates. Both the procurement administrator and the procurement monitor for this RFP will submit separate reports on the results of the commission to the commission, and then the commission renders a decision on the results of each procurement event. Next, the utilities and winning suppliers can proceed to executing the contracts, and winning suppliers will be required to pay supplier fees to the IPA. This slide provides the supplier fee estimates, which are paid to the IPA by winning suppliers within 7 days of commission approval of the results of a procurement event. The estimates are $519 per on-peak block, $346 per off-peak block, and $20 per ZRC. The final supplier fees will be announced 4 business days before the applicable bid date. With that, I will pass the presentation to Abby.
Thank you, Paul. Next up, we will review the RFP process requirements. All bidders participating in the Fall 2026 BC procurement events must complete a two-part application process. The first portion of this is called the Part 1 proposal, and it consists of information submitted through the online Part 1 form, supporting documents that are either uploaded to the online Part 1 form or sent by email to the procurement administrator, inserts, which are standalone forms in Microsoft Word and available for download from the procurement website. And then please note that inserts are not retained from previous procurement events. They must be newly filled out. And then lastly, the Part 1 proposal also consists of payment of the bid participation fee, which is due directly to the IPA. And Part 1 proposals are due by 12 p.m. noon Central Time on Friday, August 14th. The Part 1 form will ask for basic information about the bidder, including its name and address. For a bidder in the energy procurement events, the bidder will need to provide information about its participation in PJM and MISO. The bidder will also need to name an officer who will sign all certifications in the Part 1 and Part 2 proposal, a representative who serves as the bidder's main contact for purposes of the RFP, and then any nominees. The procurement administrator will communicate only with the representative and nominees, so bidders must ensure that people who are working on the proposal on behalf of the bidder are those who are named in the proposal. The officer of the bidder is required to make several certifications by signing certain inserts with the Part 1 and Part 2 proposals. The officer may sign all required Part 1 and Part 2 inserts at once and has the option to submit all inserts with the Part 1 proposal for early processing. A bidder that submits all inserts with their Part 1 proposal is not required to resubmit these inserts with the Part 2 form. Next to note is that there are two methods for signing the inserts. You may either sign with a digital signature and provide an additional document or information that verifies the identity of the signatory, or you can sign with a scanned wet signature or an electronic signature. An insert completed with a digital signature may be uploaded to the online form or emailed to the procurement administrator. However, an insert completed with a scanned wet or electronic signature must be submitted via email by the signatory or with a signatory and copy. All Part 1 and Part 2 inserts are posted to the procurement website, and each insert includes specific instructions for their completion. All bidders must pay a single bid participation fee of $500 once for all 2026 procurement events. Submission must be one single payment from one single entity. This bid participation fee is due to the IPA by 12 p.m. noon Central Time on the Part 1 date of August 14th and should be initiated as early as possible. Payment by check is not an acceptable method of payment. There are only two methods of payment, and those methods are both electronic. You may use either ePay Online or ACH Automatic Clearing House in CCD or CCD Plus format. When initiating the payment, please use the name of the bidder that is submitting the proposal as the vendor name or in any other fields requesting the identity of the entity paying. And you may also provide your name along with the name of the bidder. And we'll send out a complete set of instructions when we issue accounts. This information will be sent to all current account holders and to those individuals who have recently requested qualification credentials. With the Part 1 proposal, bidders must also provide certain financial information, starting with naming the entity upon whose financial standing the bidder is relying. The bidder chooses to rely either on its own financial standing or on the financial standing of another entity. The bidder must then provide credit ratings for such entity, as well as annual and quarterly financial information. If any of the information is not available for the entity on whose financial standing the bidder relies, you must state this fact in Section 10 of the online Part 1 form, which is called the Justification of Omissions. Additional information and inserts are required for each procurement event you are participating in. Bidders participating in the AIC procurement event will fill out Section 4 of the online Part 1 form. ComEd will be in Section 5, and AIC Capacity will be in Section 7. And under those sections, you'll be asked for information to prepare the applicable supplier contract documents via inserts provided as a Word document, and also several representations to be made by the officer of the bidder. The Part 2 proposal will also require additional representations from the officer that can be provided alongside the Part 1 insert, Part 1 proposal, as noted earlier. Sections 8 and 9 in the Part 1 form must be filled out as needed by bidders applying under an agency agreement or bidders that are relying on the financial standing of a foreign guarantor. And then also noting that comments on the standard letters of credit will not be solicited. For block energy procurement events, the public results release will include the expected fuel mix related to winning bids aggregated across winning bidders. The officer of the bidder must certify that the bidder will submit a complete fuel mix report by 6 p.m. on September 15th, which is the business day after the bid date. Additionally, the IPA will request the actual fuel mix for energy supplied from each winning bidder in December for the preceding 6 months of a planning year, and again in June for the preceding 6 months of the prior planning year in which energy was supplied. A bidder that successfully completes the Part 1 proposal for a procurement event receives a Part 1 notification for that procurement event. The Part 1 notification will be provided to bidders on August 24th via a secure electronic method. The Part 1 notification includes documents for submission of the Part 2 proposal, namely bid forms, information needed in order to submit the bid forms, and the amount of bid assurance collateral required to bid on all blocks for each company. Additionally, the Part 1 notification includes an invitation to training where bidders will practice the bid submission procedures. And finally, we also include a Microsoft Excel version of the fuel mix report that is due by 6 p.m. on September 15th from bidders who have bids identified as winning bids to the ICC. The Part 2 proposal consists of information submitted through the online Part 2 form, signed certifications, the submission of bid assurance collateral in the form of cash or an executed pre-bid letter of credit, and the bids themselves. There are multiple deadlines for the Part 2 proposal. First, energy bid assurance collateral is due with the Part 2 form by September 3rd. Energy bids are due on September 14th. And then capacity bid assurance collateral is due by September 25th. And capacity bids are due on October 2nd. To meet the bid assurance collateral requirements, bidders may either provide a pre-bid letter of credit or post cash. A separate pre-bid letter of credit must be submitted for each procurement event. And they must be submitted electronically only and must be sent from the issuing bank to the email addresses provided in the letter of credit. And this includes 2 to 3 emails for each company, as well as the procurement administrator. The pre-bid letters of credit must be in the standard format or only incorporate modifications deemed acceptable to the applicable company. Just to note, the final pre-bid letters of credit and the acceptable modifications are posted to the RFP website. Bidders choosing to post cash to meet bid assurance collateral requirements must provide several documents, including a cash insert for each company containing certain acknowledgments and also a draft request for the return of cash. Bidders in the ComEd procurement event must additionally provide the W-9 for the entity to which cash is to be returned. And then bidders in the AIC procurement events must provide an email address for an account set up in AIC's vendor portal for the return of cash. And just a note here that set up in AIC's vendor portal may take 6 business days following the ICC decision. And if a bidder submits a Part 2 proposal to participate in both the AIC Energy and the AIC Capacity procurement events, a single wire transfer to AIC in the amount required for both events is acceptable. For AIC Energy and ComEd, bid assurance collateral must be in the amount of $5,000 per block, subject to a minimum per company, which is $250,000. The procurement administrator will confirm the number of blocks a bidder can bid in the AIC or ComEd procurement event based on the amount of applicable bid assurance collateral provided. And then for AIC capacity, the bid assurance collateral required is $200,000, regardless of the amount a bidder plans to bid. There are different bid dates for the energy and capacity procurement events. The energy bid date is Monday, September 14th, and the capacity bid date is Friday, October 2nd. Please note there are overlapping bid windows for the energy procurement events. Bids for the 2027 to 2028 and the 2028 to 2029 delivery years are due 1 hour and 30 minutes prior to the bids for the 2026 to 2027 delivery year. And then noting something new for 2026, the deadline for bids for the 2026 to 2027 delivery year has now been extended by 30 minutes to be at 11:30 a.m. Central Time. While notification is not required prior to ICC approval under the Public Utilities Act, the procurement administrator aims to notify bidders whether their bids are identified as winning bids to the ICC by phone by 6:30 p.m. on the energy bid date and by 6 p.m. on the capacity bid date, with a written notice to follow. For bidders with winning bids, there are a couple of deadlines to flag. First, if not already provided, bidders with winning bids must provide the contract inserts for preparation of the applicable supplier contract by 12 p.m. noon Central Time the next business day. And this is true for both the block energy and the capacity procurement events. Second, bidders with winning bids in a block energy procurement event must provide fuel mix data using Appendix 20 by 6 p.m. Central the next business day. The procurement administrator and the procurement monitor will then each submit a confidential report to the ICC within 2 business days of the applicable bid date. And the ICC will decide whether to accept the results of each procurement event within 2 business days of receiving such reports from the procurement administrator and the procurement monitor. As for contracts, each company will prepare and electronically send the partially executed contract documents to winning bidders. Winning bidders should not prepare the contract documents on their end. Winning bidders must use the standard non-negotiable contract documents provided by the company and may not introduce any edits. And then just want to note that for ComEd, they will prepare the guarantee for winning bidders, and bidders will have the option to amend their guarantee for ComEd instead of signing a replacement guarantee. And then for winners for AIC, AIC will prepare and submit their own guarantees for electronic receipt by AIC. Bidders will then countersign and send back electronically the contract documents and fulfill their creditworthiness requirements that are specific to each company. And a summary of those contract execution procedures will be provided to bidders to note sellers that are unable to execute the documents for ComEd using a wet signature will be required to use a digital signature and then provide evidence such as a certificate or a process flow report. And then lastly, supplier fees are due to the IPA within 7 business days of the ICC decision of a procurement event. If supplier fees are not paid by the deadline, bid assurance collateral may be drawn upon. And now I will pass the presentation over to Kate.
Thank you, Abby. Next up, we will review the bid submission process. Bidders must submit bids in the procurement events exclusively using the bid forms provided by the procurement administrator with the Part 1 notification. There is a separate bid form for each bid window for energy products and another separate bid form for capacity products. A bidder must fill out all required information on a bid form according to the instructions provided by the procurement administrator upon qualification. Bid forms must be submitted to the procurement administrator via a secure bid transfer site. A step-by-step guide for bid submission is provided along with the Part 1 notification. Bidders will have an opportunity to practice the bid submission process and the backup method during a training session. All bidders are strongly encouraged to participate in the training. Energy training will be held on September 9th and capacity training on September 28th. The bid form must be received by the procurement administrator in the applicable bid window. No late bid forms will be accepted. The procurement administrator will call the bidder within 30 minutes to confirm receipt of the bid form. If the bid form is incomplete or inconsistent with the requirements of the RFP rules or instructions provided by the procurement administrator, the procurement administrator will advise the bidder of that fact when confirming receipt. Incomplete or inconsistent bid forms will not be evaluated. A bidder will have until either A, the end of the bid window to cure a deficiency identified in the bid form, or B, 10 minutes if the procurement administrator provides notice with less than 10 minutes left in the bid window or after the bid window has closed. Once the bid window has closed, a bidder may not modify bids. In case B, the bidder may only resubmit once for purposes of addressing the deficiencies identified by the procurement administrator. You are encouraged to submit the bid form as early as possible in the bid window. The last bid form that is complete and consistent with the RFP rules and is received before the applicable deadline will be evaluated. There is no further opportunity to modify bids after the deadline. Now we'll review energy bids and the energy bid forms. A bid in the block energy procurement events consists of both a price and a quantity. Specifically, a bid is a price for a block of a product or for a block of a combination and is expressed in dollars per megawatt hour. Note that you can bid on all blocks for a product, and it does not preclude you from also submitting bids on combinations for that product. As an example, say the target is 2 blocks for February 2027 during the on-peak period for a utility. A bidder can submit a bid for both February 2027 individual blocks, as well as the January-February combination. In total, the bidder is submitting bids for 3 blocks in February 2027, even though the target is 2 blocks. Bids are entered on tabs designated for a given segment of a delivery year for a company. As highlighted in the instructions on the bid entry tabs in the bid form, a bid is rounded to the nearest cent and must be greater than $0 per megawatt hour. Every bid entered in the rectangle greater than $0 per megawatt hour, including any bids in gray cells, is a binding and irrevocable offer that may be evaluated by the procurement administrator. Please review section V.9, Bids on Energy Products of the RFP rules for additional rules and processes related to the submission of bids. It is the responsibility of the bidder to ensure that a bid form is complete and consistent with the RFP rules and is filled out and submitted during the applicable bid window on the bid date. The maximum willingness to supply, also referred to as MWS, is a maximum number of blocks that a bidder wants to win for a particular segment and month for a company. The procurement administrator calculates a default MWS, which is the minimum of the target for that segment and month, and the number of blocks bid across all products and combinations that include that segment and month. The bidder may, but is not required to, specify a MWS for a segment of a month to override this default. I'll now go over an example on this slide. Please note that the screenshot is illustrative only and does not follow the exact bid form. Say a bidder wants to win up to two November blocks for a segment for a utility as denoted in the cell outlined green at the bottom of this slide. The bidder would specify a MWS for November of two blocks, but could submit bids for two individual November blocks and three October, November, December combination blocks, and one annual combination block. In total, this bidder is bidding six blocks across all products and combinations that include November. However, the procurement administrator could only select as winning bids up to two blocks from some combination of the bids for the individual November blocks, the October, November, December combination blocks, or the annual combination block. Bidders wishing to read more about MWS are encouraged to download and read Appendix 18 to the RFP rules that's posted to the RFP website. The bid evaluation proceeds in two steps. Step one, bids that fail to meet the benchmarks are eliminated. Step two, bids are selected that yield the lowest average cost per megawatt hour. Our last section for today is AIC capacity bids and the capacity bid form. Bids for each season in the two planning years will be submitted in a single bid form. There are two tabs in the bid form. One tab for MISO delivered ZRCs for both planning years, and one tab for financially settled ZRCs for both planning years. A bid consists of, for each season or combination, a quantity of ZRCs, a price associated with that quantity of ZRCs expressed in dollars per megawatt day, and for MISO delivered ZRCs only, the local resource zone of those ZRCs. Please note that you must bid for at least four ZRCs for a given season at each price point. This requirement is only applicable to bids for individual seasons of a planning year and is not applicable to bids for a combination. As highlighted in the instructions on the bid entry tabs in the capacity bid form, a bidder may bid on any number of ZRCs subject to the four ZRC minimum for each bid for a season. There is no such minimum quantity for a bid for a combination. A bid is rounded to the nearest cent and must be greater than $0 per megawatt day. And every bid entered on a bid entry tab greater than $0 per megawatt day is a binding and irrevocable offer that may be evaluated by the procurement administrator. Please review section V.10, bids on capacity products of the RFP rules for additional rules and processes related to the submission of bids. It is the responsibility of the bidder to ensure that a bid form is complete and consistent with the RFP rules and is filled out and submitted during the bid window on the bid date. The ZRC maximum willingness to supply, also referred to as ZRC MWS, is a maximum number of ZRCs across MISO-delivered and financially settled ZRCs that a bidder wants to win for a particular season of a planning year. The procurement administrator calculates a default ZRC MWS, which is the minimum of the target for that season of a planning year, and the number of ZRCs bid for that season of that planning year. The number of ZRCs bid for a season of a planning year consists of the ZRCs bid again across any MISO delivered and any financially settled ZRCs for that season individually, as well as ZRCs bid for the combinations that include that season. The bidder may, but is not required to, specify a ZRC MWS for a season to override this default. Please note that the ZRC MWS must be at least four ZRCs for a season of a planning year, with one exception, which relates to the ZRC default MWS. The ZRC default MWS may be less than four ZRCs when the bidder submits a bid on a combination only for a quantity of less than four ZRCs. Now I'll review an example on this slide. And again, note that this screenshot is illustrative only and does not follow the exact capacity bid form. Please note that this example is for financially settled ZRCs, but is also applicable to MISO delivered ZRCs. Say a bidder wants to win up to 600 ZRCs for the spring 27-28 season, as denoted in the cell outlined green at the bottom of the slide. The bidder would specify a ZRC MWS for the spring 27-28 season of 600 ZRCs, but could submit bids for 208 ZRCs for that season individually, 640 ZRCs for the annual combination, and 151 ZRCs for the two-year combination. In total, this bidder has bid 999 ZRCs across the spring season individually, the given annual combination, and the two-year combination. However, the procurement administrator could only select as winning bids up to 600 ZRCs from some combination of the ZRCs bid for the individual spring season, the annual combination, or the two-year combination. Bidders wishing to read more about the ZRC MWS are encouraged to download and read Appendix 19 to the RFP rules that is posted to the RFP website. Similar to the bid evaluation for energy products, the bid evaluation for capacity products proceeds in two steps. Step one, bids that fail to meet the benchmarks are eliminated. And step two, the package that yields the lowest average cost per megawatt day is selected. Note that it is possible that the procurement administrator will select a number of ZRCs associated with a bid that is less than the number of ZRCs entered. For example, if a bidder submits bids as shown on this slide, it may be the case that the procurement administrator needs only to select five of the 10 ZRCs bid at $50 per megawatt day for the spring 28-29 season individually. This concludes the presentation portion of today's webcast.